Amen. The Lord is good, Nahum said. Amen. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. We've been doing Bible memory verses in our church this year. Boy, one of them that's just grabbed my heart and spirit, won't quote it all to you, but 1 Samuel 12 and 22. Amen. The Lord said he will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Amen. For it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. You hear that? I said it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Amen. He came to seek and to save us. He came to pursue us. Amen. He came to rescue us. He's come to deliver us. He's come to not only help us, but to be the power that we need to walk with him every day. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a great hand clap of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you. Amen. For the instruments, I tell you. You know the Lord's anointing. Amen. These young people, they're not young anymore. They're getting old. Amen. But they're young people as far as I'm concerned. Amen. But they come together with no practice. They don't get together. Amen. Unify their voices or anything like that. They just get up under the anointing and the Holy Ghost does the rest. Isn't it beautiful? Amen. I said it's beautiful. Glory to God. You can be seated this morning. There's a story out of World War II that was entitled When Doolittle Did a Lot. When Doolittle Did a Lot. The Doolittle Raiders began a mission that was characterized as a suicide mission. They were commissioned to take untested B-22B or B-25B bombers into the central part of Japan and bomb it. Mr. Doolittle ran this, Raiders. They never have launched a B-25B bomber off an aircraft carrier before. But at the beckoning call of their commander-in-chief, President Roosevelt, they took off across the seas to accomplish a task that has not yet been proven. They were upon the USS Hornet. They had no firefighter escort. They were landing in the middle of Japanese-occupied eastern China, about 170 miles before their launching spot. A Japanese patrol boat spotted them, spotted the USS Hornet, radioed in and said they had the aircraft carrier coming. Well, the USS Hornet sunk that patrol boat, but not in time for the transmission to go forth. And it made the Japanese aware of their presence. So these 16 B-25B bombers took off the USS Hornet 170 miles away from where their original launching place was to be. The reason that it was entitled the suicide mission is because they knew very well that by launching that distance away, that they weren't going to have enough fuel to return back to the USS Hornet after they completed their mission of bombing. Mr. Doolittle got his men together and he said, we've been commissioned by our commander-in-chief to accomplish a mission. Thank God for red-blooded Americans. Hallelujah. They chose to fulfill the command to fly into Japan and bomb their targets. They had little chance of success, but they launched anyway, listen, to change American history. Only one of the 16 B-25 bombers landed safely. The other 15 crash landed with many of the raiders killed, maimed, captured, and tortured. But after that Doolittle raid, the Japanese Navy changed its strategy, moving the strength of their Navy to a place called Midway. Japan planned to lure the remainder of the Pearl Harbor U.S. Navy into a trap. Instead, at the June 1942 Battle of Midway, the U.S. Navy sank four of the Japanese aircraft's carriers, and the Japanese Navy never recovered. I said they never recovered. Within 6 months of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese Empire's morale and Navy were destroyed, all because that the Doolittle Raiders were willing to risk their lives for the commander and chief. Hallelujah to God. The Doolittle Raiders made a place in the history of the United States of America because they were willing to take a risk. I said they were willing to lay their lives on the line. They were willing, knowing that the mission was impossible. They were going out to try to accomplish a deed. Listen to me. Knowing that they were going to run out of fuel. But I want you to hear me this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You and I have been commissioned by our great commander-in-chief. But I promise you, on the authority of his name, he'll fuel you with the fuel that you'll never have to run out of. Hallelujah. It's called the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'll infill you. Hallelujah. You'll be able to stand against every attack of the enemy, and you'll never run out of fuel. I said you'll never run out of fuel. Hallelujah to God. You've got to enlist. I said you've got to enlist. You're here receiving from the Lord. Become a soldier. I said become a soldier. Become a soldier. Hallelujah. Graduate out of boot camp to the place of battle. Age is not a factor in this army. You hear me? I said age is not a factor in this army. To join the military in the United States of America, you've got to be 18 years of age. To join this, all you have to do is give your life to the great God of glory. Amen. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And at a very young age, you can be a great, mighty soldier. You can be a great, mighty soldier. Hallelujah. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. Numbers chapter 33. It's an honor to be here at Truth Camp with you. Amen. We've been with you every year, I believe, except for one. And it's been a glorious privilege to watch many of you grow up. Amen. Some of you were this high when we started these Truth Camps. Amen. And now we see you ministering and working. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Numbers, stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning with the title, Possess It. Possess It. Glory to God. I want to challenge you. I want to lay a challenge before you today to not just drift about life, but have an aim, have a purpose, have a goal. I would have given anything under heaven if I'd had a man of God stand before me when I was at the age of 15 and give me such a challenge. I would have given, you hear me tonight or this morning, I would have given anything, Brother Webster, to have a man of God stand before me and tell me that there's a God in heaven that has a commission for my soul. Glory to God. You're a privileged people. I said, you're a privileged people. Hallelujah. You don't realize how privileged you are at this present time. One day, if you don't realize it, you're going to see just how privileged you are. Amen. Numbers 33, beginning in verse 53. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. To possess it. Ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance. And to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. What a commission and what a warning. Amen. What a commission and what a warning. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before this host of young people that I believe is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Lord, I ask you to simplify my words. I ask you, Lord, to anoint them above any. Lord, I just ask you to bless today the hearer. God, let this word this morning fall on a vessel. Amen, that'll take heed. Glory to God. I just ask you, Lord, to have your way. I give you praise and glory and honor for the privilege of being a preacher of the gospel. I give you thanks today for these young people. Bless, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. Look to your neighbor and tell them, possess it. Possess it, church. Glory to God. The children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of their basic resistance to the will of God. Resisting God's will always brings spiritual advancements to a stop. Many start with a zeal. Many start with an excitement. But soon it's turned to fatigue and fatigue to faint. If the children of Israel would have continued in the spirit that they had at the crossing of the Red Sea, they would have marched straight into that promised land and never spent their time wondering. You hear me this morning, young people? If you'll take the zeal that we experienced here last night and that we'll experience here today and tonight and in the rest of this week, if you'll take that zeal home with you, realizing that God is able to work in your heart and life, realizing that you're not hindered this morning because of age. Realize that you're not hindered today because of name. That if you'll take this calling of God and make it superior in your life, I promise you, you will not spend a life wondering, but you'll find a true, genuine purpose in your life, and it's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with your life, and you can find no greater fulfillment whatsoever. Hallelujah. God has an inheritance for you. I said, God has an inheritance for you. I want you to hear me this morning. You know, I was telling Brother Webster a while ago, been serving the Lord a long time. But many years ago, my pastor's wife got up and spoke for about 20 minutes on prayer. And that 20-minute message on prayer transformed my walk with God. Because I listened to what a woman had to say about the power of prayer. I took it to heart. And prayer became my life commitment to God. Come on now. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, God has an inheritance for you, but you have got to find it. I said, you have got to pursue it. You have got to seek it out. I said, God has a possession for you. He has a state of dwelling for the ones who answers the master's call. I said, God desires for you and I to dwell in a place of security. I said, God has a desire for you and I to dwell under the place of the anointing of the Spirit of God. He has a place of safety and peace and fulfillment. He has an inheritance, a state of being, a state of existing. It's a place called under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I said there's a place of dwelling that you and I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God gave the children of Israel a very strict command. Drive out the occupiers, destroy their gods, their molten images, their pictures, and possess the land. What he's saying was, bring me into this land. Bring me into this land. Glory to God. You'll either destroy or be destroyed. You listen to me. I've been in this for a while. You'll either destroy the inhabitants or the inhabitants will destroy you. Amen. To drive them out means to occupy. Drive out the previous tenants and possessing in their place. It means to seize it. It means to inherit it. It means to expel them. It means bring them to impoverish. It means to ruin them, cast them out, consume them, destroy them, disinherit them, dispossess them, make them poor, bring them to poverty, amen, and take possession upon it. Succeed, hallelujah, utterly, completely. Walk inside this land and remove everything in it that's not of me. Hallelujah to God. I tell you, church, this is spiritual warfare. The greatest example of spiritual warfare right here is found in Numbers 33. Glory to God. The Canaanites existed of many people. Moabites, Ammonites. These came from the descendants of Lot. Amen. The first act of incest. Moab meaning incestuous. Ammon meaning inbred. I don't have time this morning to look into every one of these nations and what they stand for. But it was idolatry, lewdness, witchcraft, child sacrifice, rebellion, murder, homosexuality, bestiality, greed, lust, envy, covetousness, pride. And the list could go on and on. These nations, as Israel's friend, would bring more harm to them. And if they were their enemies, they'll bring more harm to your life as a friend than they will as an enemy. Amen. This walk with God, you hear me this morning, it demands growth. It demands growth. You know, a lot of times, we don't put enough requirements on you to walk with God. We lower the expectations. Amen. I tell you, in school, a C isn't good enough. Come on now. Amen. C isn't good enough. B is not good enough. There's an A to attain. I said, there's an A to make. Amen. I believe sometimes we need to lay greater expectations. I said we need to lay greater expectations on what you can accomplish for the glory of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I said you need to realize this morning that God's got a commission for your life and it can begin right now. It doesn't have to wait till you're an old man. You can grab a hold of the power and the might of God and begin it right now for His glory. Hallelujah. Darkness will compass an idle Christian. If they were not driven out, there were going to be consequences. Now you just bear with me. I'm building something that we'll close with. Pricks in the eye. The first meaning of this word is thorn. But it's more than thorn. That's why you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. There are many definitions that describe this word. They are a hedge, fenced about, shut in, to block, to stop the approach, to shut off, to cover, to weave together, to entwine, to join together. Listen to me. You try to make friends with things that aren't of God, and you'll find yourself being entwined with a cold spirit, a lukewarm spirit. You'll find yourself trying to serve God on a Sunday, and Monday the world will be pulling you. It'll be dragging for you. It's going to be a calling your name. That old rock and roll music. I said, if you don't run and drive these things out of your life, it's going to try to entwine. It's going to try to join it together and make it Christianity of none effect. I said it'll make the power of God of none effect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to drive it out. I said you got to drive it out. Glory to God. Listen to me. A prick in the eye will keep you from seeing clearly. The straight and the narrow way won't make any sense to you. Amen. It doesn't make sense to be at every service. It doesn't make sense to have to get up every morning and pray. It doesn't make sense to be faithful to God at all times. I said it just doesn't make sense. Because there's something that has entwined itself inside. Amen. And it makes you a weaker man or woman of God. And it opens the door for many voices to call unto you and try to remove you out of this place of inheritance and possession. You listen to me as well. What a prick in the eye will do will stop people from seeing the judgment of God upon the lukewarm. You know, the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that don't believe or that are perishing. Wasn't talking about the cross of Christ. That preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. Why do you have to set that standard? Because the cross demands it. Why do you have to live that kind of life? Because the cross demands it. Amen. Why do you have to come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord? Because the cross commands it. I said the cross requires it. I said the cross calls for it. That's why. What are those that are perishing? They don't understand that. But to you and I that understand it, we realize how important it is to possess the land. Hallelujah. Oh, it's important to possess the land. Glory to God. Then he said, there'll be a thorn in your side. It's a thorn, but it has a better ability to stay in because it has a barb on it. You ever been hooked with a hook past the barb? We fish a lot, being from the coast, down there by Corpus. When we was kids, we used to fish with a deal called a spoon and trailer. It's a little gold or silver spoon. Then about 6 inches behind it, you would put what we call a little tail. And it had a three-way hook in it. Boy, we could pop that thing. Sling that thing across those flats. Reel it through that sand spot and catch them redfish and trout. One day we was fishing. And my daddy, he grabbed that big old rod of his. And he slung that thing and that line wrapped around the tip of that rod. Amen. That line snapped, and that three-way hook set itself in my younger brother's scalp. I mean, it got him. And we was a long ways from nowhere. Amen. My daddy had to get over there with his old rusty fish knife. He tried pulling it out, and that wasn't working. Why? Because it went in past the barb. Amen. He pulled, my daddy wasn't going to leave his fishing spot. Amen. So he just told my younger brother, get a hold of something, but I'm fixing to cut this thing out. Amen. He reached down there, he got his knife, he cut that. You just couldn't pull it out like you could just a little thorn. Amen. I said it had to be cut out. What I'm trying to tell you today, that if this thorn gets in the side, it has a greater ability to stay there, and it has a harder time getting it removed. So if you'll keep these things driven out of your life, it won't have the ability to take root. It won't have the ability to make it an addiction to you. It won't have the ability to pull you off track. I said it'll keep you in the right way. It'll keep you walking with God, possessed in your inheritance. Glory to God. God said, drive them out. It'll be a vexing to the people. The vexing. It means to bind, to be in distress, to be siege, be bound, be cramped, to be pressed hard upon. It means to be shown hostility. It is not your friend. I said it's not your friend, because he becomes a harasser. I said he becomes a harasser, and he becomes an adversary. You listen to me. Satan makes no league for prosperity. This walk with God requires you drive it out. I said you drive it out. Can you say amen? If the children of Israel didn't drive them out, then the other nations thought they could be friends and introduce them to their philosophies of life, their humanistic views, their gods, their sacrifices, their way of pleasure, their lifestyles, and their standard for life. It would and did bring them into bondage. God said, I have all the direction you need for life, and it's not in this world's philosophies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to God. Now that's the intro to a three-part message, but it won't be long. And all my church said, we've heard that. Amen. First way to drive out the inhabitants, you have to set your affections. I said, you've got to set your affections. When I was trying to win that girl of mine that I've been married to this month for about 33 years, I set my affections on her. You can't do that yet. Come on now. But I set my affections on her. I knew where she worked. I knew where she went to school. I'd drive by and leave them little notes on her windshields. Amen. And then waiting for the phone call to say she found it. Come on now. What I was trying to do, I was trying to bring her in. You got to set your affections. Hallelujah. I said you got to set your affections. Paul said to the church at Colossae, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, amen, and set your affection on things above. Glory to God. Oh, I tell you, I could preach on this for a little while this morning. I'm going to tell you that one of the greatest idolatries that we've got in America is sports. It's a great idolatry. There's a lot of folks that'll labor, they'll work, they'll pursue, they'll set their affections. to try to accomplish a goal. I said they'll set their affections to try to accomplish something. And it's all right, I guess, in some of those things. I'm not going to preach it all to hell. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you want to prosper with God, you've got to set your affections on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said you got to fall in love with the maker of your soul. You got to fall in love with the redeemer of your life. I said you got to fall in love. Affection. You got to exercise the mind. You've got to entertain the mind. Amen. It's to be a mental consent. You got to think on him. You got to dwell upon him. You got to meditate upon him. You got to find his word. And you got to let it get deep in your soul. Hallelujah. It means you've got to interest yourself. Got to be careful. Amen. You got to be of the same mind, same regard. Amen. Set your heart for it. Oh, Holy Ghost, speak to somebody this morning. Amen. Secondly, you got to press towards the prize of the high calling. I want you to hear me. Righteousness still exalts a nation. Amen. Righteousness still exalts a nation. And sin is still a shame to any people. Don't you dare play second fiddle to the world because you're a Christian. Don't you dare, amen, fall back and be intimidated because you're a Christian. Amen. I said, don't you dare sit back and be ashamed or embarrassed because you're a Christian. Amen. Stand up. Amen. I said, stand up and be counted for. I said, stand up and let the world know who your Savior is. I said, stand up in the face of the world and let them know my God relives. Hallelujah. I said, he's real and he abides in my spirit. Don't you be ashamed of your standard of dress. Don't you be ashamed of your standard of activity. Don't you be ashamed of the things that you have set your affection on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you be ashamed of it. Press for it. When you're around the ungodly, press for it. When you're around sinners, press for it. When you're around believers, press for it. Hallelujah. It's a high calling of God. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi many years after his Damascus experience. Many years. Huh? It's never too late to have a burning desire to know him. Amen. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Brother Goodwin said it last night. Church, the rapture could take place before this service is over this morning, before tonight's service is over, before the last Friday morning service is over. Amen. Wouldn't it be beautiful for all of us to know him in the power of the resurrection? Glory to God. Amen. But then he said, and in the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
to the Lamb of God. Well, glory to God.
What Paul is saying, what really matters is the prize of this high calling of God. The prize of a vital faith, listen to me, is a continuous struggle. The quest is perpetual. We must be created, or we were, listen, created by God to grow. I said we were born in the natural, created by God to grow. Amen. If we saw some of these teenagers wearing diapers, we'd say something happened. Something's wrong. Amen. If we saw these girls sucking on their thumb or still carrying a pacifier, we'd say something has happened, wouldn't we? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we'd shun them. I tell you, you boys walking in the diaper, you ain't going dove hunting with me. I promise you that. Well, we might let you go, but you might be the target. Yes, sir. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You're created by God to grow in the spirit, in the natural. Listen, when Christ redeemed our lives from destruction, he created us to grow. I said he created us to grow. Amen. Mr. Ravenhill's grandson wrote a book, and it was titled, For God's Sake, Grow Up. In the 60s and the early 70s of the United States of America, churches were blooming. Churches being built all over the place. I mean, churches on every corner, neighborhood churches, metropolitan churches. I mean, growing and multiplying, just exceeding, growing. And those men of God were saying, oh, what's going to happen when these young converts mature into men and women that are soldiers of the cross? It never happened, Brother Hatfield. I said they never grew up, Brother Martin. He gave an illustration of a man in a three-piece suit sitting in a sandbox with a little plastic shovel and a little plastic bucket. They never grew to the place of spiritual maturity. They didn't drive out those inhabitants of the flesh. They didn't push them out, and they stayed babes in Christ. Last night, we had tongues and interpretation, and we had prophecy. Amen. You three boys, come up here with me. Amen. If nature, walk behind me, if nature takes its course, which it probably will, unless the rapture takes place, this old man is going to lay the armor down, and somebody's going to take it, it's going to take it behind me. And if he doesn't grow up, he's going to fill the church with Canaanites. I said, he's going to fill the church with liberalism. He's going to fill the church with baptism and seducing spirits. Come on now. I tell you, when the Word of God, the Holy Ghost spoke this to me, when the Word of God leaves the pulpit, when the Word of God leaves the nation, when the Word of God leaves the living room, it's opened up to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. You say, oh, Pastor, that's too deep for us. No, it isn't. I got greater expectations than that. Amen. Hallelujah. I said I got greater expectations than that. Can I go on and preach it? We're filling our public high schools with nurseries so children can take their children to school. Come on now. You listen to me. God forgive us when the church has to start filling nurseries, building nurseries to take care of illegitimate children, because we never drove out the spirit of lust and became what God. I said, I got greater expectations of you than that. I said, I expect greater things than that. I expect you to be holy, to be pure, to be blameless, the sons of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I said, that ain't too hard, is it? Glory to God. It's a high calling. Charles Spurgeon said, why would we dabble in the mud and manure when we've got the shores of heaven? Glory to God. Possess it, church. Possess it. I said, possess it. Glory to God. I got on the back of these some other notes. Amen. God has something he wants to manifest in your life. Amen. That means he has something that he wants to exhibit. He has something that he wants to bestow. He has an expression. That's what that word manifestation means in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then he said, the Spirit of God is given to profit with all. To profit with all. I guess this is a preaching teaching. Amen. What he wants to exhibit, Sister Roxy, is something that's going to profit your life. Because it's a higher calling. Amen. What he wants to brew, Brother Luke, is that he wants to bring something, express something inside you that makes life have a higher calling than the grave. I said he wants to express something inside this collective body of believers. He wants to bring something to fruition inside this body of believers that has the application of salt. He wants to bring into our presence such an atmosphere of his glory that we shine like the light of the world. It's a higher calling. You see, this life is set on a hill. I said, this life is set on a hill. It doesn't hide. It doesn't run. You find me a soldier that runs. We just found one here a while back. God have mercy on the ignorance of our president. I'll try not to get on that. I said, I'll try. Amen. That's kind of a hard one for me sometimes. I've been around long enough to see America when it was good. Do you hear me? I said, when I was in public school, we read the Word of God. When I was in public school, we had prayer. Amen. That was public school, not private school. Amen. Our history books, amen, had Pilgrim's Progress. Come on now. Amen. Our history books, amen, they had Columbus as a good man, not a thief. What does God want to express? What does God want to manifest? Real quickly, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm not going to go there because I got to try to bring this thing to a close. He wants to express a word of wisdom. That's not beyond your ability. I have greater expectations than for you to be foolish Christians. Amen. I said we have great, these men of God, these pastors, these youth ministers, youth pastors, your mamas and daddies, they have greater expectations for you to use wisdom, not foolishness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wants to express through your life a word of knowledge. Faith. I preached a message last Wednesday night at our home church titled Faith in God. One of the points was in who is the warranty of our faith. Amen. Somebody will build a product, they might put a 6 months warranty. A used car salesman, they'll give you a 10-10. 10 feet or 10 minutes. Amen. Be careful when you buy a used car. But they'll give a warranty. Amen. Now they're building vehicles. They'll give you a 100,000-mile warranty. Because they built it, they know it'll last that long. So who's the author and the builder of your faith? I believe the Bible says it's Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus, looking at the scribes and Pharisees, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. Who's the warrantor of your faith? It's the great God of glory. And he will not, the Bible says, bring you to shame. Because he's got a high calling. He said, I've got faith that I want to express. I've got working of miracles that I want to express. I've got spirits of discernments. Come on now. I'm telling you. You listen to me. There's a lack of spiritual discernment in the pulpits and the pews of our lands. Amen. They come in. It kind of looks like God. They use God in its song every now and then. You know. Oh, they got a few piercings. They got a few earrings. They got a few tattoos. That's all right. No, it isn't. I said, no, it isn't. It's not all right. I want you to hear me. Body piercing's not all right. Tattooing your body is not right. It's sin. I'm not condemning anybody that's done it, but I'm doing my best to keep you from it. I tell my church that all the time. Girls, you know, I might as well just dive in. Amen. Girls, just because the world's women's pierce their ears, that don't mean you do. You got a higher calling. Come on now. Just because the world's people pierce their noses, they don't set our standard. We got a higher standard. I said we got a higher calling, and it's holiness, it's righteousness, it's purity, it's walking with God, being blameless men and women of God. Hallelujah. It might not mean anything to you, but a person that has a tattoo looks dirty. Every time I see one, I want to go get a bar of soap, wash him. Hey, amen. When I was a kid, you had to go to the San Antonio Junior Livestock Show to see a freak. Now you got to do to go to the Padre Staples Mall. Come on, now I know that's kind of comical, but you listen to me. This world is as pagan can be. It looks more like Africa. The United States of America looks more like Africa than it does the God of the Bible. This old man's going to preach it, Brother Joshua. Glory to God. Amen. I might die sooner than I thought. Amen. There needs to be prophecies like went forth last night. My, I tell you, when that word went forth, there was a spirit of conviction that moved across this congregation. Hear it. It is to profit us. Glory to God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, church. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm bringing this thing to a close. I'd like for our musicians to come. I'm not telling you this to bring any sympathy, but a week ago today, I buried my mama. Last night was the first time that I had time to weep. Oh, God's good. I've been so busy. And I, you know, every now and then I just have a few spurts of feeling that hurt. And last night, I got to lay down over on that chair. And that great man of God, Brother Don Goodwin, come laid his hands upon me and prayed. And I tell you, I got to weep. Hallelujah. For the last 6 months of her life, she lived in a nursing home or a rehab our hospital. She went in for a minor surgery, and that minor surgery gave her a stroke. And through the decisions of a foolish doctor, he put her on blood thinner when she had a bleeding colon, and that knocked her down completely that she never recovered from. The last 3 months visiting her, she started saying, "I want to go home," didn't she, Brother Billy? Our youth group would go by every Sunday and they'd sing, "There's no God like Jehovah." The lady that was in the room with her started complaining, saying, "They're trying to make me have church." Amen. Amen. She started saying, "I want to go home." And we'd say, "Mama, where you want to go home to?" Annaville. It's a little community where she lives. And the first two or three times that we asked her that, she'd say, "Yes." Her words got so slurred at the end. That was hard. I mean, sometimes I would ask her for 45 minutes to an hour, "Say it again, Mama." And I'd put my ear right up on her mouth and say, "Say it again, Mama." And she started saying, "I want to go home. All the way home." Huh? I know you're young. Some of you 13, 14, 15, up to 19, 20, to 50 something. Death is more real to me than it is to you. But I've preached funerals of stillborn babies. I preach funerals of 3-year-olds. I preach funerals of 17-year-olds, 45-year-olds, 53-year-olds, 80-year-olds, all ages of life. And this one thing you got to do with your walk with God is drive out spiritual death and lay hold on eternal life. I said, because that's the most important thing that there is in this world. It's not a degree or a doctorate after your name. It's not an accomplishment to play some kind of sport. It's not something that you're being able to do in society. But it's knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, glory to God. You got to lay hold on eternal life. If you'll lay hold on it, you'll drive out all the inhabitants that try to snuff it out. Come on now. Hallelujah. Grab it. I said grab it. All of you understanding me? If you're understanding me, wave at me. I got the vast majority of them's attention. Glory to God. Lay hold on it. There's nothing greater. I said there's nothing greater. You got to lay hold on eternal life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, I didn't know that this was the theme of the camp, but the Holy Ghost did. I was talking with Brother Tom last week, and I said, "Hey, Brother Tom, I said, do you know what the theme is for the camp?" He said, "Well, I'm not sure, but I believe it has something to do with fighting. Something along that line." Amen. And my last verse of scripture, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he told him, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the good fight of faith. I said you gotta fight for it. I said you gotta possess it. I said you gotta lay hold on it. I said you can't let no man take your crown. But you gotta grab a hold of God and don't let nobody hinder you or stop you. Glory to God. I want you to come to these altars this morning and I want you to grab a hold of God. I want you to ask Him to give you the power of the Holy Ghost to possess what He wants you to inherit. Amen. Come with me as they sing it. We're going to wear a robe and crown. Some glad day, church. Hallelujah. Sing it, brother. Once you therefore.